This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار.
It is clear that one of the greatest ni'mas that Allah could give a person is ni'matun shirah al-sadr. And that word in shirah al-sadr in Arabic means for the heart to expand, to be big, to be open, so it's comfortable. So it can receive adversities and react to them in a noble, pleasing way. It can receive the truth and accept it and see falsehood and reject it. And Allah Azza wa Jal counts that as a blessing that He gave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when He said, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, did we not expand your heart for you? And again, expanding your heart is what? Making it comfortable, filling it with iman, with relief. And Musa alayhi salam, before his mission to Pharaoh, understood very well the importance of having such a heart. So he said in the famous dua, Rabbi shrah li sadri, Ya Allah, expand my heart for me. Because he knows very well, and every prophet and messenger of Allah know very well, that they cannot carry out any mission from Allah Azza wa Jalla and face the tyranny and rejection of the disbelievers without having a heart that can tolerate all of that and be patient with it. And in fact, a ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jalla for any human being is for the heart to be open so it can accept Islam. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. If Allah wants to guide someone, He opens His heart to Islam. So you accept it, you like it, you want to practice it. And if there is difficulty with that obligation, you will endure it, you will accept it. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And if Allah wants to misguide a person, يَجْعَلْ, He makes his heart tight and constricted, so that there is no place for the truth in it. Falsehood will find a place, but there is no place for the truth in it. He will hear it and reject it and run away from it. So it's a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course, facing life's adversity could constrict and tighten your heart. And you could experience periods that could be short and long of distress and pain, anxiety, etc., etc., where the heart feels very tight and you feel very sad and very depressed, whether you know the reason or not. And so in this khutbah, we want to look at simple things that we can do to remove the restrictions, the tightness of the heart, and acquire a more expanding heart, a more comfortable heart. So the first thing to remember is that whenever you are facing tightness in your heart, tightness in your chest, you're sad, you're depressed, whatever it is that you're feeling, the first thing that you want to run back to is the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and dua. One of the easiest things to do, just to move your tongue and to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And to move your tongue and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief. And you find that the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, whenever they faced hardship, what did they do? They immediately would go back to Allah Azza wa Jal in supplication. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Yunus alayhi salam said it when he was in the belly of the whale, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever you face hardship, you say that. So whatever your hardship is, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And you also resort to istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Because one of the things that we should know is that whenever we do something wrong, it leaves a stain. There's a stain on the heart. And there's a stain on the soul. And have too many of those stains and they bring you down. You become to experience the discomfort, the sadness, the anxiety that the shaitan brings. Now, how do you clean your heart and soul? Immediately with istighfar. Astaghfirullah, 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 and you keep doing it. Not just 10 times or 20 times, as many times as possible in a sitting. 100 times is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a single sitting, he would do it. 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the middle of the day, 100 times before you go to bed. But to keep saying istighfar, especially if you're experiencing that constriction in your heart. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And the more that you say, the better that you will feel, especially if your mind is attuned with your tongue. Both of them are saying astaghfirullah. And if you're in a state where your mind cannot be controlled, but you can control your tongue, begin with the tongue alone. Because your tongue, if you consistently say astaghfirullah, will bring your mind back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you add to that, salah and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially on a day like this, Friday. And there is a hadith where Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a special dua that I make. And I also include you in the dua, meaning salah and salam upon you. How much of that dua should I give to you? Should I give the third? He says, you can. And if you do more, it's better. He says, should I do half of my dua for you? He says, you can. And if you do more, it's better. He said, should I do all of my dua for you? Meaning that particular dua that he had at that particular part of the day. Should I give all of my dua to you? He said, إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُغْفَرُ ذَنْبُكْ. He says, then whatever is distressing you will be taken care of and your sin will be forgiven. Again, whatever is distressing you will be taken care of. And Allah will forgive your sins. So you saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad, and saying a lot of it has that effect where Allah azza wa jal, in addition to all the other blessings that Allah gives you, but in that particular part that we want to focus on today, Allah azza wa jal takes away your distress. Slowly takes away your distress until you feel better. So the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is one. And dua. And when we say dua, we don't say a single dua or two times. But to continuously ask Allah Azza wa Jal for relief. And part of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. To the end of the dua. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from ham and hasan, from distress, anxiety about the future, and hasan, sadness about the past. So you make that dua. If you're going through something at this moment, you make that your constant dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. And there is another longer dua where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, Allahumma inni abduka ibn amatik nasiyati biyadik, and then he goes on, أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك. Then he goes on, أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. And you can find that dua. where he is asking Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Ya Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave. I'm asking you by all of your names that you make the Quran the spring of my heart, or the like water from my heart, وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي, I mean, and the light from on my chest, and the removal of my anxiety and sadness. He said, Allah will take that away. And that also tells you, in addition to that, we should know this dua and repeat it, that the Quran is what? The more that you read of the Quran, the more that Allah Azza wa Jalla will take your anxiety away. And in the beginning, when you open the Mus'haf, you'll be struggling. Because in the first minute, in the first 5 minutes, you may not feel a lot. But if you spend 20 minutes and half an hour, and you do that every day, you will see the result. Just like any medicine. It may take a little bit of time, but you will see the result. But we need to be consistent in reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Add to this also, and we can take that from that hadith, Ham and Hazan. As some of the scholars of Islam have said, Kun ibn yawmik, be the child of today, not of yesterday or tomorrow. What they mean by that is that focus on today, not the sadness of the past and its regrets, and not about the anxiety of the future and what it may or may not bring. Focus on today and what you want to do today. So some of us are prisoners of our past. When you wake up in the morning, or you fail at something, you remember all the problems of your past and you bring it to your present, as if your past dictates what are you going to be today. But the past is supposed to be in the past. Learn from it, fix whatever you can of it, but then move on. And today is a new day. Now, how do you know that Allah wants you to feel like that? It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, because today there are new obligations on you and me, right? There's a new salah. Maybe I'm someone who neglected salah in the past, but today I have a new obligation, which is a salah, and a new opportunity to repent, and a new opportunity for dua, and a new opportunity for sadaqah. So when Allah gives you a day, He wants you to take advantage fully of that day, not to focus on what you did yesterday. Fix, but focus on today. And not also to focus on what's going to happen tomorrow and worry about it. You can plan, but don't be trapped by what if this doesn't happen, or what if this other thing happens. What if the worst thing happens? And the worst thing may never happen. Or if it happens, and the shaitan is relentless, the worst could happen. What do you say? Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Whenever there is hardship, there is ease. Whenever there is hardship, there is ease. And that is a promise coming to you from the Creator. It is the one who Allah Azza wa Jalla, who may decree that tomorrow could be for some of you difficult. He's also promising you that with that difficult comes ease. And with that difficulty comes patience that you do not possess today. But Allah will give it to you tomorrow when you need it. And tomorrow will also bring whenever you need advice for those around you, where they don't have what to tell you today, but tomorrow Allah will guide them to give you that advice. So don't worry about tomorrow. Plan, but don't worry about tomorrow, because your worries could be baseless. And the shaitan feeds it and makes you think the worst of Allah and yourself. And don't be trapped by yesterday and its failures. But say, today Allah had given me an opportunity. Do the best that you can do today. And for that you need to have a plan. What is it that you want to do? Don't sit idle. One of the greatest problems that allow the shaitan to enter your brain and heart and whisper and make you sad and take you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla is when you don't have a plan and you sit idle. There's nothing in your life for the dunya or the akhirah, but you're just sitting. Whereas a wise person has a plan for his akhirah and has a plan for his dunya. Today I will do 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if I finish something, I'll do another. And when I finish the second thing, I'll move into a third. And I will not sit free without nothing to do and invite the whispers and the anxieties and the pain to enter my life. No, keep moving. And they say, في الحركة بركة. There's baraka in movement. So you keep planning. If you're religiously, if you're inclined to do things religiously, from when you finish reading the Quran, you move into hadith. From finishing the hadith, you move into another lesson. Then you take a bit of halal entertainment. Then you come back. But there's always something that you're doing. If you're more inclined towards the dunya, then go to the dunya. And then study, work, plan, have hobbies, but have something to do. And don't be a victim of your own whispers, of your own doubts, and of your own weaknesses. So you must have a plan. And for that also, you must be optimistic. Don't say, I'll try and I will fail. Or there is no use in trying. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is there. And Allah listens to your dua. And Allah rewards you for your effort. Forget about the result. Allah rewards you for the effort. And Allah is there to renew your iman, to renew your energy. And as long as Allah is there and He can change everything, hope can never be extinguished. And as long as Allah can assist you, you should never feel weak. So again, your impressions of yourself, what you think of yourself, put that aside. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal to renew you as He renews every day. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. One of the early Muslims, he came to another and he saw him sad. And he said, what is making you sad? And if you wish, I would tell you. That's the questioner is saying, what is making you sad? And if you want, if you permit me, I'll tell you what is making you sad. He said, tell me, what is making me sad? He says, you're worried about your kids. He says, I'm surely worried about my kids and what will happen to them after my death. He said, I'll tell you something and keep it in mind. In kanu awliya'a lillah, he says, if they are pleasing to Allah, a wali to Allah, if they're pleasing to Allah, Allah will not abandon them. And if they are a'da'un lillah, displeasing to Allah, meaning enemies to Allah Azza wa Jal, you need not worry about them. I know it's difficult for a parent at times to think like that, but the premise there is valid. The premise meaning that, what is going to happen to my family, to this and that after my death? And the shaitan will plan this. Counter by saying that if you leave them on the right path, don't worry about them. Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of them and they know their way to Allah. And if they are not, you are not going to be more merciful to them and with them than Allah Azza wa Jal. You just do your part. And Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living thing on this earth except Allah provides for it. You do not provide. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider. Now, another thing to keep in mind is to not look at the dunya with admiration. Meaning, look the other way. Especially when you're online and social media. There are people who are showcasing their mansions, big homes, new cars, new food, restaurants, travels. Look the other way. Because the more that you look at these things, the more that you will disdain and dislike your own life. Because you will see things that you don't have. And you will see things that you cannot have. Because not everybody is supposed to have everything. And when you see everything, you will wish for everything and you will regret your own life. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَطْلَقَ بَصَرَهُ كَثُرَ هَمُّهُ. It says if you just don't restrain your eyes, you will be depressed because of it. So the Prophet ﷺ says, إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. He says, follow, be eager, hold on to what benefits you. Consider before looking at all of these things, Would looking at a mansion benefit me? Would looking at somebody's latest travels or purchases benefit me? If you say yes, justify that. If you say no, why are you looking? Especially that it's making you sadder and depressed. Look away. As you look away from the haram, catch yourself and say, I'm not going to look at all of these things. And we also could add to this, remembering the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not complaining so much all the time. There are some people whom Allah had given them a lot. And all of us had been given a lot by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But when he wakes up in the morning, what he sees is everything that's wrong. And so they begin to complain. This is not available. This is missing. This is expensive. My health, my this, my that. And so they bring themselves down and they bring everybody around them down by that constant negative look that they have. Whereas if they were to count the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jal upon them, they say, I don't have this, but look at how much I have. Look at my health, look at my kids, look at my house, look at how much I have. And if you can't see it, compare yourself to someone who has less, who is really struggling. And you discover the magnitude of Allah's ni'mah upon you and you will say, Alhamdulillah. And follow the model of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever happened, he would say what? Alhamdulillah. Even when things are displeasing, he will say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah for all. Whatever happens, Alhamdulillah for all. Whatever the condition is, Alhamdulillah. So accustom yourself to say, something bad happened, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Not to complain, not to curse, not to be angry. And don't, again, going back to the past, don't say, if I had done this and that, I could have saved this and that. I could have changed the outcome. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taftahu amal ash-shaytan. This will open the handiwork of the shaytan, gives him access. If you say to yourself, or you say to other people, well, that was your fault. If you had, it would have been different. And how do you know that that's the case? If Allah Azza wa Jal, and keep this in mind, if Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed that something had happened to you, you could not have done anything else to stop it. You follow me? And you understand this? If Allah had decreed that something bad had happened to you, and he decreed it because it happened, you could not have done anything to stop it. So you cannot go back and blame yourself for it or go back and blame somebody else for it. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted it to happen this way. You can learn from it so that you don't repeat that in the future. But the past has already been decreed, and that is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So do not say, I could have fixed it, I could have prevented it, I could have and I could have. Allah wanted it this way. And that relieves you, that turmoil inside of you that says, it's my fault, I could have changed it, I could have done better. Allah wants it this way. And the last thing that I will say, inshallah, for today, and there's more that can be said, is, again, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he used to smile a lot. He used to smile a lot. They say about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the sahaba, ma ra'ani illa tabassam. Whenever he sees me, he would smile. And he did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the weight of the world on his shoulders. He had family. There was death in the family. He had death in the children, death in the family. He had companions also who were dying, and non-believers who were after him personally and after his companions, and he was running a state. So the amount of pressure on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was severe. None of us is carrying that weight on our shoulders. Yet he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would smile. And why should you smile? Because even if you don't feel like it, smile because it's sadaqah. In the face of your spouse and children, it is sadaqah. You don't want to bring them down. Sadaqah when you do that. In the face of your neighbor, it's sadaqah. And it's also uplifting. When they see you smiling, then things are not as bad because you have the ability to smile. And when you smile, things also don't seem as bad. So rather than take all the negative and complain about it, smile. And remember that this is a sunnah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So smile and say, take it easy. Whatever is happening now doesn't last. This entire dunya doesn't last. And if you're patient for a few minutes by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will meet smiling angels. And when you meet Allah Azza wa Jal as befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will smile in your face as well. So smile. It's difficult, but it doesn't last. It's difficult, but it's not as big. And it's difficult, but Allah Azza wa Jal is there. Call on Him and Allah Azza wa Jal can eliminate any difficulty. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhaman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, take away our sadness, our distress, our anxiety, whatever is ailing and paining us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, You are bigger than our problems, so solve our problems for us. Ya Allah, You are bigger than our problems and our distress, so take that away, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, You are greater than our problems and stronger than us, so give us the strength that we need and give us the patience that we need and remove our pain and sadness and anxiety, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make us of those who remember You often, who read the Quran every single day, and make that easy for us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Make us of those who engage in dua frequently. Make us of those who smile and practice the sunnah of their messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us of those who focus on their present and forget about the sadness of the past and the anxiety of the future. Fill our heart with iman. Fill our heart with Your love and love of Your Prophet and the love for the believers and the love for what You love. Allahumma atina في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والجبن والبخل وغلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم لا تدع لنا هما إلا فرجته ولا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة